Good morning. Would like to welcome everyone to the study session of the Mesa City Council for Thursday, May 28th, 2009. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Fenter. He's out of town and will not be calling in. And we'll begin with the first item on our agenda, which is to go over the regular meeting agenda for next Monday. Let's begin page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, item 9A.
9A.
Prohibiting left-hand turns out of on Power. I can't remember what school that is. I'm sorry. But the question is, was there public comment? Is it high accident rate? Just what was the factors that went into that
Mayor,
decision?
Councilmember Higgins, it was requested by the school.
Okay.
And they're the only ones impacted.
Okay.
It's going to help with their flow, and they were concerned about the potential of crashes, but we do not have a crash problem there today.
Okay, but it's the school record.
Yes.
Passed. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anything else on page 8? Page 9. Councilmember Summers.
Am I correct on 10A that we were not changing utility fees for electric? I should say that
Mayor, Councilman, there is actually a rate that's being decreased, the commercial rate.
The commercial residential rate stays.
No, yes. There's no change in the residential.
Residential rate stays the same.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, thank you.
So it is still a modification.
It's a modification.
Downward modification.
Downward modification. I like downward.
Anything else, Councilmember Higgins?
I'm sorry, but it's back to 2A.
2A.
Yeah, it's on page 2.
Oh, we're way past that.
I know. I was just catching up.
2A, the public hearing. Yes.
We're gonna have public hearing. That's just clarification. People come up, they talk, we discuss. It's not on consent, right?
No. If you recall, we agreed to reopen the public hearing.
Right. Thank you.
We had the public hearing.
Right.
When we talked about continuing that, we agreed that rather than take it up today, we would take it up Monday. And in order to conform with the requirement, the timing requirement, we would reopen the public hearing at that time.
Thank you
okay. For
the reminder.
So basically, it's a do-over. Okay. All right. Thank you. Item number 2, hear a presentation and discuss the proposed Mesa Town Center Improvement District annual assessment. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, City Council members. Hi, my name is Fred Curry. I'm the DMA Vice Chair of the Downtown Mesa Association Board. I've been in the Downtown Mesa about 9 years now and been on the board just as long, pretty much when I got down here. Crystal Russell, our DMA Board Chair, is out and apologize for her absence at this point. As you know, the proposed 2009 Mesa Downtown Center Improvement District assessment is recommended by the 34 DMA board members to be about $273,000 in round numbers. This includes about a 3% assessment increase for the 2009 year. The increase came about a part of an inclusive DMA downtown stakeholders process in 2007-2008. The results of that was that the City Council public hearing process in 2008 as well. The result was the approval of an incremental annual assessment increase of 3% in the years 2008, 2009, and 2010. By no means was this an easy decision to recommend that the slightest increase at this point in time for the downtown property owners, especially now during the economic times that we're going through. It should be noted that 25 of the 34 DMA board members, directors, are downtown property owners or property representatives that pay the assessment. The remaining board members are business owners who, in essence, pay for the assessments through their rents, payments. So we all are vested in the city and is heavily vested in downtown. Now, not all agree that, you know, during the process, agree with the process, the increase. We had a couple of property owners and we had a couple of board members as well. But it was a very healthy discussion and very candid process that we went through. However, based over the overwhelming number of majority of the DMA board members, we agreed that the request the city assess themselves and their fellow 200 downtown members, commercial property owners, the slight increase of the 3% over the 3 years. The overall programming reason was agreed to include the following. DMA overall charge is to promote, market, and manage the square downtown mile. Tom has provided a level of financial details that can provide you with that financial details that you desire after comments. However, I can tell you that the demand for the DMA business process or their work or things that they've been asked to do has definitely increased. And with the down economy, we pretty much have stepped up to the plate in trying to take on those challenges. There's been a lot more promotional publications for advertising and for assistance in facilitating special events in the downtown has increased considerably. We have MacFest that's been going on that the DMA has been assisting with, Old West Days, Bliss Fest, car cruises, and Friday Night Outs, to name just a few of the things that have been taking place that we've been involved in. The DMA marketing is a higher number of downtown commercial properties for sale, or at least in the, at least in this economy, which means that we've had to take a more active role in pursuing and recruiting business owners to come down to the downtown area, working with commercial real estate developers to come down, you know, and help us fill these spots. So there's a lot of things that's been taking place. In this down economy, there is an increase in demand of cleanliness and maintenance service pertaining to the issues of homeless debris, graffiti, and illegal dumping, to name just a few. In terms of the safe and sound downtown, we've even worked closer with the Mesa Police Department and the economy of security issues in terms of being helpful eyes and ears. Matter of fact, just last week, we had one of our clean sweep guys that seen some activity happening in the facility, in a building, and reported it to the police department and ended up, you know, thought there was some drug activity taking place, and he ended up, it was exactly that, and arrested the guy for doing so, for drug dealing. Despite the increase in the DMA 2009, it is fine-tuning only what it does currently, but it also recommended an effort to reestablish and coordinate the special events by the DMA. This is something that the City Council and the downtown stakeholders expressed for us to consider, and we will start and try to identify other funds to develop and sustain the community events in the downtown area. Also, we are proceeding with the community facilitation process of updating the downtown vision and concept plan. This collaborative planning effort will even be more extensive in the next fiscal year. I can tell you we receive great input, and many new and better ideas are coming forward in the input of the interactive public meeting as it pertains to the vision concept planning efforts. Similarly, we will be working closer with the Metro, City Transportation, and the Light Rail Stakeholders Group to help plan design element development impacted by the light rail system. There will be more intensive efforts in 2009 now that the rail route is known, especially in terms of the number of traffic lanes, type of parking, you know, parallel versus the diagonal parking, crosswalks, how many crosswalks we have in the area, form base, and the other many factors that will come when that process starts to kick off. I think that this provides an overview or a highlight of the DMA programming for the 2009. We do have copies of our DMA year-round service sheets to pass out to you if you wish to have that information, additional information for you. What I'd like to do at this particular point in time is turn it over to Tom Verplugen, the DMA president, to provide a little bit more of the financial highlights, and then be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Freddie. Mayor and Council, appreciate the opportunity. I think when you look at the DMA financing and budget, it's really a different paradigm than the public and private sector, with us being obviously a nonprofit. I think it's a little bit like apples, oranges, and pears. And to a certain degree, you just
Tom, before you go on, you may have jumped ahead. Why don't we go back and provide a little bit of basis for what we're doing, because I think we're assuming that everyone understands the nature of the DMA, and you know, I'm not sure that we don't need to very briefly revisit the what the DMA is and what the town square is and why we have an assessment, because I'm not sure that everyone is maybe on the council, but in the city is really up to speed or remembers what this was. So just through a few questions, DMA was established when?
1984.
And it was established as a through state legislation, and it is a quasi-government entity. You say it's nonprofit. It's actually a quasi-government entity, correct?
Well, correct. The Downtown Mace Association, it's a private nonprofit corporation, and I think some of our activities are quasi.
Well, but it's established under state law, is what I'm saying. The ability to do that,
right,
is established under state law.
And the city requested that in 1983. Mesa actually got the legislation for the special downtown improvement district, which is
right.
An enhanced improvement district.
And that's what I want to make sure of. This is something that the state legislature established, the authority to do this. So this is not something the city went in and did. This is something that was established through state law that enables the existence of the DMA.
Right, and it was the property owners in the downtown that requested the city to get the state legislation.
I understand that. I'm getting there, okay? But I just want to make sure everyone understands. This is not a city department. This is not a completely private. This is not like an HOA, although it functions much like in many ways. And what we're talking about, and this is what I'm getting to, it's an association that has physical boundaries, but that was established by an act of the legislature. Its existence is due to law, and that's why we're involved.
Correct.
That's why the city is involved, is because it's a quasi-government, and that's what I'm getting to.
Correct.
We wouldn't be involved if you were a simple HOA, but the fact matter is that the city went to the legislature. There was enabling legislation that established the right for cities to set up these nonprofit, quasi-public corporations.
Correct.
Okay. Right?
Correct.
Okay. So when you come to us for when you come to us in this context, and we talk about assessments, these really are self-assessments, as has been described. You went through a process within your membership, and that's all those who are within your boundaries, and they went through and said, "Listen, we want to assess ourselves," and that this is where it's much like an HOA, where they're paying basically assessments on their properties to fund the operations of the DMA, correct?
Correct, and the city's the conduit. So
right, and the reason we're the conduit is because it was set up by state legislation, and it's a quasi-government entity.
Correct.
So really what you're doing is that this is not something we're imposing on you. This is something, if I'm hearing you correctly, this is something that you have come to the city and said, "Listen, our membership, those who own property, and our board have discussed this. We've gotten input. We are requesting, and we think that we would like to have a 3% annual increase in our assessments, and that's something that we are bringing to you as a proposal." And this was, what, a year, 2 years ago?
Right.
Over a three-year period. And that's when it was established. This is not something the city council or staff dreamed up and said, "Here, we're going to impose this on you." This is, in many ways, a self-assessment.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay.
By state law, we have to approve it.
And yeah, and because we're the conduit, and because, once again, the DMA was established through enabling legislation by the state legislature, we get involved because we have to approve this because you are a quasi-public
That's correct.
Entity.
Correct.
Okay. Is that a good enough background to say why we're here? Because I think there was a little bit of misunderstanding. I know in some people who have come up to me and talked to me, and the thought was maybe the DMA is maybe a city department. It's something we set up and we run and all this, and there's maybe not quite as clear of an understanding as to exactly how this DMA came into formation. We assume people know that, but there's a lot of people who don't know the history and don't know why the city council is involved and why you keep showing up and talking to us about this, and they're not getting the connection. I'm hoping that this helps establish that connection as to why we're having this discussion and why the city council is involved. Is that accurate? Is there something that we left that I left out?
That does a lot better job, and Mayor, as I think, as Freddie pointed out, There was very, very good discussion at our board meeting in 2007 and 8. We had special meetings. We invited property owners. So it was vetted pretty well amongst, we sent out notices amongst the assessed property owners. And then, as Freddie mentioned, 25 of the 34 property owners actually that are on the board actually pay that assessment. And they were the ones that
directly
were recommending that.
And the others who are tenants, we would assume it's a rent. They paid indirectly through whatever they paid to use their property.
Correct.
Rent or what otherwise. Now, I just like when an HOA, not everyone is in agreement that you should have an increase in HOA monthly fees. And the only reason I bring up the HOA, I know it's a crude connection, but in many ways it functions like that. And it does a lot of the same things that an HOA would do. And I'm trying to get some connection that people can understand that in their homes they pay an HOA fee. Well, these business owners and property owners also pay this assessment, this fee. And not everyone's going to agree with that. You're not going to have unanimous, but the vast majority is what I'm hearing of property owners did vote to request this, they support this, and that your board officially is on record as supporting and requesting this increase in this assessment, right?
Correct. And I think our board really sees the protest as healthy in terms of there were board members that didn't vote for it on the board, and they respect that position. And I think it's healthy that it keeps us even on a better line, and we respect the property owners that protest also. So I think from that standpoint, we see it as a healthy process, not only from a private standpoint, but also in going through a public standpoint that's required by law.
Okay. All right, any other questions from Councilman? Okay. Go
just
ahead.
Just a couple of points. As I mentioned, I think that as the mayor was pointing out, we're a private nonprofit. We're not city. We're not private. We're quasi-public in essence, but it's a little bit like apples, oranges, and pears. And I think our corporation can take some of the best of the public sector and some of the best of the private sector in terms of pairing some of the things that we actually do. From a public sector standpoint, obviously the city's a larger institution. It needs certain internal infrastructure to support its activities. Whether there's attorney's office or HR office or risk management, there's a lot of things from a smaller nonprofit that we don't need those. We utilize the expertise of our board as a nonprofit. So we have different requirements in terms of specifications and needs and a different salary and benefits type package. From a private sector standpoint, it's profit driven. It pays dividends. It has its own salary and bonus and benefits package and costs. So there's things that the private sector can't do that we as a nonprofit can do. And then along with our sister agency, Ultimate Imaginations, which is a 501c3, we can leverage in-kind services and tax-deductible donations and sponsorships. So we can leverage a lot of things on our board. We have, as you know, Crystal, we have attorneys on our board. We have insurance folks on our board. You have accountants, architects, printers, bankers, retailers. Really their service on the board in a lot of ways, and I would say in terms of most board members, that service and some of the interactions and the discounts and some of the things they help with us in terms of expertise is actually more valuable than their actual assessment. So there's a lot of things that we can do at little or no cost. And again, Downtown Mesa Association is a 501c6. That's a business and economic development corporation. It's similar to the Chamber and the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Our mission is business and economic development. And as I mentioned, we have Ultimate Imaginations, Inc., which is a 501c3. It can get involved in artistic and charitable and education events, and we set that up so that we can leverage those tax-deductible donations and sponsorships in some of the events. And we've raised a few million dollars over the years in terms of whether it's sculptures or previous events. So overall, if you really looked at Downtown Mesa Association's total package in terms of operating expense, because of the things that we're able to leverage, we're about 25% lower than the public or private sector, and that's one reason in terms of being that quasi, we can take the best of the public sector and the best of the private sector. That's the reason that we can be, that we're really set up and we can utilize some of those things in terms of the leveraging the services that we provide. Besides the Town Center Improvement District, we have five other contracts with the city city and the county and our other contract with Ultimate Imagination. So we have six total contracts, and that's another reason why we can, between those contracts and some of the different sharing of cost and overhead, that we're able to keep the assessment relatively low. And the only problem, and we talked about this, and that's the reason for the 3% increase over 3 years, we just haven't kept up with inflation. The assessment district was actually set up in 1985. The assessments were actually assessed in 1986, going through the county assessor process. In 1986, the assessments were $276,000. And the recommendation this year with the 3% is $273,000. And so you can see it's about the same. But with inflation over that 24-year period, we basically have about half the purchasing power in terms of present value dollars, if you will. But again, using the other five contracts and leveraging some of the things from the board and the county with the community service workers and Ultimate Imaginations, we've been able to provide that type of level of service. But I think it's finally gotten to the point where our board looked at it and said, we really need to keep up with inflation. It's kind of like a slow leak in a tire, and the tire's about halfway there, and you start to look and say, well, maybe we need to give it a little, 3% bump a year and a little to inflate it the next couple of years, because at some point we're going to get to a level where we're going to ruin that tire, or it's going to cost us more in the long run. And we actually had one 10% increase in 1999, and surveying out and talking to the property and business owners, we looked at that, and the question was, do we want to do a 10% increase in 2008? And it came back with this economy, no, let's do incremental, let's do 3% increases over 3 years cumulative. That will have a 10% impact after the third year. One of the things that
Tom, you seen your last assessment increase was in 99?
There was a 10% increase. The only increase prior to this 3% was 10% in 1999.
Okay. So it hasn't gone up in nearly a decade, other than last year's 3% increase.
Right. It started in 1986, so 13 years later in 1999.
It was your first increase in the assessments, and now 10 years later, it's another assessment. So it hasn't gone up in unison.
Well, it went up last year. 3% was the first series of this, correct.
Okay, but in 2004, there was no assessment increase.
No.
Okay.
And so with that inflation, I think the thing that we did lose is we have two less employees, and those were focused on special events. And we used to do the Fine Folk Festival and the Youth Fest and some of those type of things. But if you look at the actual assessment, the number one thing is, and Freddie pointed some of this out, is clean and safe. It's number one, it applies to everybody, is going to be those number one and two. Number three is going to be promotions, a lot of the paper promotions that we do in terms of whether it's dining guides or downtown focus. We have about 25 different very specialized publications. Number three is business development. And then starts the four and five comes in terms of special event facilitation. So that's why, in terms of priorities, in terms of how we package, that's why the special events faded away. But we're gonna work back into that as we had some of those discussions. So yes, the 3% is only $8,000 a year, and some folks are saying, even our board asked that, well, can't you operate without the 8%? And I think what we wanted to do is incrementally stay up with inflation. If you take 8% over 3 years and you have the cumulative 3% increase, you're talking about probably $25,000, which is about a tenth of our budget. So as Freddie mentioned, the board, I think they vetted it pretty well in terms of looking at that. And not only from their vested interest, but also the city's vested interest, is downtown is the number one public revenue producing center in the area. It's 450 businesses, 250 commercial property owners, about 3,000 residents. So there's a lot of revenue generators that need to be protected, not only from the private side, but even if you look at the city side, from whether it's utilities. I think there's more than $10 million in terms of actual utility revenues in the area. There were about $10 million in terms of fees for the different Mesa Arts Center and the two museums and the libraries. So that there's a protection that we're looking there. Freddie mentioned that the DMA services are...
I think Councilmember Kavanaugh has a question.
I'm almost there. I think the point is that it really is countercyclical in terms of our services. We have a lot more demand. In a down economy, we have a lot more demands in terms of the promotions, the marketing. We're dealing with more vacant properties and different property owners and businesses. So there's a lot more demand on our services. So I guess the point is that our board is recommending the 3%, and that we certainly want to hear from others in terms of protest, but hopefully the city council will also.
Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I know that Vice Mayor Jones has served as the council liaison to the DMA board for now a number of years, and it would be helpful for me just to hear your thoughts or analysis on the discussion both from last year and through the current time. You've sat through all the board meetings and discussions, and I'm just curious to know your feelings on the issue. Thank you.
I'd add to that, Kyle, if I could. This assessment decision was made early last year, as I recall. We made that, and that was before the economy really took a dive. I guess the question is, the city has taken some pretty significant cuts. We've made changes to departments and in a lot of ways really changed the way that the city has done business. And the question is, from the board's perspective, what the sense of continuing these 3% increases over this next 2 years, given this economy, is that still the direction most would want to go, in your opinion, or do some feel that maybe we ought to take a year and leave it the same?
Okay. The decision was made about this time last year for the 3%, so it was roughly a year ago. And I would say that from discussions on board meetings that we've had, the board is still willing to proceed with the 3%. They see the necessity of it. The same people who made the initial determination to do the 10% over 3 years still believe, even in the down economy, that it's necessary to receive the services and to promote the downtown and get what we need to make it better. They see the long-term benefit. 3% is 3%, but they can't control a lot of other factors that make things go up and down, but they see the necessity of it. So I would say there is still a very strong majority in support of doing the increase.
Okay.
I would like to say something real quick as well in regards. I mean, as business owners, we understand what it takes to, you know, run our businesses and also to keep the community clean as well. So, I mean, we know that there's going to be times where things are up and down, you know, and as board members, we are here to represent the downtown business owners. And we took into consideration very seriously, not only from the assessment of last year, but we thought about it ourselves again in regards to if we wanted to proceed or not with this assessment. So it's just something that we're not looking at and overseeing and say, hey, we did it last year, we want to continue to do it. It's something that we've discussed and we'll always discuss, and we'll probably do the same thing next year at the same time when the time comes up. But it is a necessity that we do need this assessment. It's just something that the DMA needs to assist us in making sure that we can maintain the standards that we already have. And so we're here to basically make sure that we get your support in doing so.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate what the Vice Mayor said. Once again, you know, but for the way this was established, we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here in front of us. So I'm more interested in the fact that that the Vice Mayor feels that this has been properly vetted, that it has been discussed, and that it is a choice of the board of the DMA and the property owners. And if they choose to continue to invest in the DMA and assess themselves, you know, that to me is what is the most important. This is not us imposing something on them. And I hope that that's not how it's viewed. It's us concurring with a self-assessment. And as long as we feel comfortable that, and the Vice Mayor feels comfortable that process has been fair and open and that it truly is a self-assessment, that's what I would be most concerned with. Vice Mayor.
And I will say, always you have people who disagree. That's the nature of it. The caution that I would give to people who are concerned about it outside of the downtown, people even on the council here making decisions, be careful not to listen to one or two people who get your ear and bend it pretty good, and then you miss the perception or the understanding that this is a large group that made this determination. One or two people who don't like it getting a hold of your ear does not constitute the feelings of the entire group, and they need to make sure we understand that. It's very easy to be sidetracked that way.
Thank you. Councilmember Summers?
And that is an important point, and I appreciate the Vice Mayor's input on this. Thank you for answering that question. But on the other hand, too, I don't want to just pencil whip anything that comes in front of this council. I don't think that's the right thing to do either. The state, for whatever reason, decided that even the self-assessment for these associations has to be approved by council. So I just want to make sure we do due diligence, given the downturn in the economy and how businesses and even homeowners are suffering right now. I think looking at these types of assessments, we need to do so very carefully and consider what the impact is. I'm encouraged by the work you do. I like the work that you've done. I still like your presentation that you didn't give today. It shows downtown Mesa 15 years ago and how it's improved over time. I think anybody who wants to learn more about the DMA should see the changes and the impact the DMA has made on downtown. As we move forward and we try to make a livable, vibrant, walkable downtown community over this next decade, it's going to be important that the city engage in partnerships with nonprofits and the private sector, and the city, of course, playing its role as well, and the DMA is going to be an important part of the promotion, the events, and maintaining the cleaning, but still we have to make sure our businesses are cared for. Interesting that you don't increase your assessments all that often, only a decade. Even I didn't know that. So that was very encouraging, and the fact that we decided to spread this out makes it a little bit more palatable. So I'm more comfortable today with the assessment increase from what I heard from your presentation and the Vice Mayor's assessment as well than I was last week at the meeting, and I thank you for your time and coming forward to present it to us.
Thank you. And I would like to say I have a little bit different take on that. I appreciate the fact that even when things are tough, that the downtown owners and merchants and everything are willing to continue to invest. I think the most important thing is that when things take a little dip, the idea is that you have to completely pull back. And that's as big a mistake as to continue to move forward. There are things you need to continue to invest in. And I appreciate their willingness to, in spite of overall economic conditions, to continue to invest and to increase their investment, because I think that's incredibly important for them to increase that investment. And if you know they're willing to do that and put the put their money in and continue to lay the kind of foundation that Councilmember Summers talked about, I think we'll reap the benefits. So thank you so very much.
And Mayor and Council, just briefly, again, we really appreciate the process. I think our corporation really, it doesn't shy away. That's the whole point about protest hearings, and we held our own protest hearing, and I think through the public. I think it's a healthy process. The questions that the mayor and council asked today, I think, help educate a number of folks. A lot of times we're kind of in the throes of what we do, and we don't always explain well what we do. So I think it's a healthy process. Folks that protest, again, we respect them. We don't shun folks. They're all part, and I think it makes us better. They asked some good questions that maybe 50 other people kind of had on their mind also, and it adds legitimacy to the overall process.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Item number 3 on the agenda is hear a presentation, discuss, provide direction on the 2009-10 tentative budget.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Items 3 and 4 on your agenda for Monday relate to the tentative budget. Item number 3 is a public hearing related to the budget, and number 4 would be the approval of the tentative budget. The purpose of the tentative budget is to set the total dollar amount that the city can set for its expenditure limitation for...
We're setting a ceiling.
It's the absolute ceiling when you adopt this on Monday. It can go down. It will be probably fairly close to this amount when we come to the final adoption. But from where we were... And that's the primary purpose of this meeting this morning, or this presentation this morning. I just wanted to step through where we were and what the total dollar amount that we're looking at right now. Slide number 2 details the items that we presented to you on the 14th from both the preliminary budget without the stimulus funds and the federal grants stimulus $46,292,000 to give you that total preliminary budget, which agrees to the books that we provided on the 14th. We do have those that book available on the website for anybody to link, looking at the detail. Now, the significant difference from there to now is we have the carryover and rebudget adjustments. The significance of that is taking care of its timing. We're taking contract items we're obligated to out of resources this year and just timing them into next year. So in essence, we create fund balance availability for the fiscal year end. We won't spend it this year, and we spend the resources next year. So it's just matching up timing from both a contract basis and our CIP bond program basis. So it's just timing of completion. We will vet these one more time before we come through to the final. So this number of the $50 million is awfully round, and it's on purpose.
And just so everyone knows, we're back into acronyms. CIP yes. is the
capital improvement program.
Okay, yes. So those are the buildings we build, the things
streets
we build.
Mayor, I just had a quick question about those council improvement programs. As I've gone through that CIP program, I see, you know, for example, there's a lot of the intersections that we didn't include in this last bond issuance because a lot of the projects we felt probably never needed to be done, but they continue to show up on the capital improvement program 5-year plan. When does that list actually get vetted and who vets it?
Well, certainly we bring that to the council on a regular basis. We can continue to talk about it. A lot of those are projects. I don't know when we need to make a decision if there's projects we don't want to include anymore on the CIP. A lot of those projects are projects that may be already funded under Prop 400 that are out into the future. There are projects that are, many of them may not have exactly complete funding source. It may be a portion of it, maybe Prop 400. And so some of them may continually get pushed out into the future just because we haven't made the decision to fund them through a general obligation bond or not. But maybe that's an exercise we can go through with the council. If there's projects we decide that we're not going to pursue, we can certainly discuss
projects
that
we might want to pursue. But for now, they're kind of placeholders.
They're placeholders. It's a planning document that looks out at a 5-year program.
The funding side of it, you could see that.
Yeah, it's not solid in many cases. That's correct.
I guess I just had a little bit of concern when projects are in there, even if they're placeholders, you know, you're still working on getting towards a project that may or may never get done. And, I think we need to.
No, fair enough. We wouldn't be spending any resources at this time on those projects. They're really there as they come up for discussion, we would have to obviously bring those to council.
Individual projects,
right. And talk about those. Yeah.
Sometimes you see these five-year funding horizons, and you have a first year has some very low expenditures associated with a project to do some initial engineering.
Right.
And then we get down the road 2 or 3 years on where we've spent a couple $100,000 in increments on a project, and then, we've already spent $600,000 on it. We're obligated to do the project. And I just feel a little
frustrated. Yeah, I will tell you, there's projects that we're actually giving money back to MAG this year because we decided not to do them after doing the design work on it. So the council always has that prerogative to stop projects, and there's projects that we've actually stopped and had to refund the dollars back to them. So we have to be very careful once we go down the path of a project, the commitment to complete those projects.
Thank you.
But Mayor and Council, one of the things I just wanted to just clarify, this $50 million, as Chuck says, it will fluctuate a little bit. This is our estimation of existing contracts that are currently executed today that will carry over into the next year. Right. So we've got to carry over the resources to complete those contracts or, for example, a fire station. You know, it's not necessarily going to get completed this
year. We've approved the project. We just now need to include the cash flow, the outflow.
Both the resource and the expenditure into the next year.
Yeah. So, and that's what this is. This is, right. We started it this year. We're going to finish it next year. Whatever's left hanging out there, we have to include in our total expenditures because we're going to be cutting checks next year.
That's correct.
And this is a kind of a good clarification of what the CIP plan is with the budget, because you're only adopting the legal requirements related to the CIP plan for next year. So you've got your funding defined, you've got your projects defined for next year. So that's the vetting process we go through. And the future 4 years are more of the planning process, getting it on the table, and looking at what we have to do for the future.
And I think what I would agree with what Councilmember Richardson is saying is sometimes you have a planning project, and unless the easy thing is just to roll over projects, you know, just because the five-year plan is really a rolling plan. And it's easy once a plan gets in, once a project gets in there, you know, it's in the plan, so therefore the assumption is we're going to do that project.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time, just because it's been there, the natural process may just start to do a project without the really kind of formal vetting that we might have done if we were looking at it anew. And I'm hearing Councilmember Richens say, it's, you know, maybe we need to do a detailed review of maybe that five-year plan where we haven't really gone into it. We've made some major changes in categories or in other areas, but maybe we need to go back and really look at culling out some of those projects that we might not do, just to make sure that they're not in
there. Right. No, I would say I think every project in there was put on there at some point with a larger plan from a council. Obviously, times have changed. There may be other priorities. I think it'll be a good time to bring those back to this council to go through the whole CIP in anticipation of, one, we know that there's some changes in Prop 400 and timing of projects. Two, this council may be looking for going to the voters again in 2010. So we need to have a CIP to kind of look out there about what we're doing. So we'll be glad to bring that entire process to the council.
And I think it's a good time to do it. The tendency is if it's in the five-year plan, that means it's assumed somebody's going to do that project at some point in time. Well, and I'm sure there's probably some projects there that if we were starting from scratch right now and building that list, right, we may or may not.
And council needs to know, we are not going to, just because it's there, we don't necessarily just go spend the money. So right, even if it's a partial funding in a future year. So.
And if it provides any comfort at all, when we do the five-year plan, we financially restrict in the city of Mesa.
I understand that. On the other hand, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate. Right. If something's been in a five-year plan for several years, when you have the discussion, sometimes the discussion is as simple as, it's been in the CIP, okay? And you don't, you know, and I know I'm oversimplifying it, mm-hmm, but, you know, if it's been there, there's an assumption that we're going to do it. And maybe at some point in time we need to say, okay, things have changed sufficiently enough that we need to go back and perhaps redo that and look at things. And if it's iffy, or if we say unless conditions change, we probably need to pull those out just so that we have a legitimate, not a legitimate, but an accurate, mm-hmm, indication of what we're really going to do. Councilmember Kavanaugh?
Thank you. Chuck, every year during the budget process, you counsel us to do a budget that maintains a healthy fund balance.
Correct.
And I know last year we talked about, you know, the target goal is always to have a fund balance of between like 8 to 10 or 8 to 11%. Last year we ended up a little bit higher, which proved helpful to us during the bad economic times. With the tentative budget that you're looking at now, do you have a tentative forecast, one of what you think your fund balance hopefully will be, and what percentage do you see it as being?
I see us as meeting our fund balance goals. When we sat back and saw what the economy was doing, we shortened our forecast window because we didn't want to make unnecessary cuts. So we made an 18-month window. So we're looking through the end of next fiscal year from last August. So we're hitting those targets, fortunately. Fortunately, our revenues, as long as they don't slip any further, they're meeting our targets. So we're looking at 10 to 12% to end this fiscal year, and somewhere around 11%. So we don't have a lot of margin for error. We didn't build any.
What you're saying is that as part of our budgeting, we are eating into our reserves.
Absolutely.
We're utilizing our reserves,
yes,
to for the purpose that they exist, which is to cover the deep
cuts,
mm-hmm, trough, financial trough we're in. We have, even in spite of all the changes we've made, we have utilized our reserves to cover a bit of that and to lessen the effect of that deep trough.
This fiscal year, we have bitten into those reserves pretty significantly.
Okay. Which is why we have them.
You can see that in our backup, and it's about $30 million.
$30 million in total.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, and the important thing is, the forecast is we're remaining within the target that you set, which is critically important for us.
Yes.
For a whole variety of reasons. And so I'm just very pleased at the work that you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The one other thing I would want to point out from the numbers that we're talking about here, even with the stimulus, which is $46.3 million, we're going to be almost $60 million less than last year's budget, even absorbing that $46 million in stimulus funds. That is pretty significant from a city this size. Now,
and it's actually, I mean, if I recall, most of the stimulus, or a lot of the stimulus, is not trying to supplant.
That's the fallacy of stimulus.
Made it very clear, I think, that we don't want to obligate ourselves.
No.
We don't want to take stimulus monies. that supplant regular program monies that will end up biting us down the road.
Well, and frankly, those agree, and the funds really weren't a lot of them available to do that. They were actually targeted towards federal initiative programs, which were worthwhile, but they weren't necessarily the same programs that we had to reduce, like in libraries or code compliance or something like that. Now, we've been able to do some. There are some areas we've been able to supplement, but you're right. It's almost kind of two different areas between what we cut in the budget and what the stimulus is bringing. Stimulus helps us a lot on the streets projects in the future that we were looking towards doing. That certainly is a benefit.
The stimulus has helped soften the blow. It has not supplanted or helped us to increase a whole lot. It's bit by bit it's helped us to soften.
I would say it's softened the blow from community programs and from construction.
Right.
Not from an operational.
Not operations and ongoing type of
things.
That's
a good way
of putting it. Okay. So actually when you look at that, if you're down $50 million and you even net of that $46 million, really we're still back in that $100 million net decrease. In reality, ongoing, recurring type operational.
That's
expenses.
Correct.
Vice Mayor?
And probably a good time to throw this out to us. You guys do such a great job in the planning, because understanding that our state shared revenue, which that formula may be impacted, we don't know, but even with the old long-term formula, those revenues trail by 2 years, and so everything that's happening to the state right now is going to affect our state shared revenue 2 years down the road. So you have to plan for that, knowing that we're going to have a real significant drop then compared to what we've had on state shared revenue.
It is on our radar, yes.
And that's not including the additional dollars the state's talking about taking. Yes.
Yeah, and just if there's something a little hanging out there, as we define state shared revenue, that's really our share of basically income taxes that are collected from the state. And those are a two-year, in other words, the money we're, the check, let me back up, the check that the state is cutting us this year is related to the income taxes they collected 2 years ago.
Correct.
So what's going to happen, and 2 years ago, we were just in the very, very beginning of this downturn. So as we get next year and 2 years from now, we're going to get our share of the income taxes that are collected by the state this year. And we all know that the income taxes collected by the state this year are way down. So we've got a plan for that. But the good thing is we pretty much know exactly what that number is going to be, because once again, we know what the state's collecting this year, so we can plan it 2 years in advance. However, we do also know that that's...
Provided they don't change the formula.
Yeah.
And that's the significant part.
Right.
The immediate is the formula change can come in the next fiscal year, so that is somewhat of a threat.
Okay.
We have two more budget activities, June 1st, which we talked about this morning, and then on the 22nd, we will have public hearings and adopt the 9-10 budget legally, five-year CIP and utility rates, and the first secondary property tax rate.
So we're going to adopt it legally, huh?
Yes.
I'd much rather do that than adopt it illegally. Okay, any questions, further questions for Mr. Odom? Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Item 4 has been removed from the agenda today. We'll take that up at a later date. Is that still true, Mr. Brady?
That's correct, Mayor. We want to get that back to Council as quickly as possible. There were some questions that came up. We want to clarify, and we'll try to get that draft out as soon as we can to Council and then bring it to Council.
All right. Item number 5, hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Higgins.
excuse me. Last Friday evening, I had the pleasure of attending the Valley Christian High School graduating class of 2009, which had my favorite 2009 graduate, Kyle Higgins, which is my oldest son. And I just want to say that he turned down about $15,000 in out-of-state scholarships, and he will be attending MCC starting on Monday, which was his school of choice out of all those.
Just can't cut the apron strings, can he?
He can't, and I'm so very happy because I think MCC is our real gem in our city, Mesa.
Good.
So thank you.
Well, congratulations. Thank you. Anything else? Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of items. First, just a reminder of the council meeting we'll have on June 1st, and then following that, we'll have our study session for June 4th. Also, if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we had a gentleman come and make a presentation regarding solar permits and installation for permits. We met a couple of weeks ago with representatives from the installers of solar panels. throughout the area. We had like 6 to 8 representatives in attendance. And it really was their consensus. As we explained to them that we thought we were trying to do something to incentivize and encourage solar installations, they actually came and asked us that, no, they would prefer that we would have a permitting process, a plan review process, an inspection process, and even were willing to pay a fee for that process. We are working with them. They are actually drafting up why that's necessary, to explain why they believe that's a necessity. And they've also agreed that sometime in the future, as we set up this process, they will provide some of the training for our staff also to become familiar with this technology and the installation, because it is something that we're not familiar with at this time. So we're working with the industry to try to come up with what they perceive as a better solution to have the permitting process in place. I do think they're looking at it as a way also to make sure that the installers are qualified and credentialed, and that the products that are being installed out there are meeting the life safety requirements. So
this is one of those situations where, in trying to reduce regulation,
we actually...
Does this fall into the no good deed goes unpunished?
I think that's pretty close to it. In our efforts to thought we were doing something uniquely beneficial. So anyway, we'll be moving forward with that. Hopefully, we'll have something early fall to bring to the council.
Okay, great. Councilmember Higgins?
One other thing, I was just looking at my calendar. My husband and I attended the Everyday Heroes Awards Gala that was on Saturday at the Orpheum Theater downtown. And it was to honor high school graduates across the state. And we actually, and I didn't bring the names, but we had two Mountain View graduates that actually were in the top 6 in the state that were honored at that event, and the state champion 5A cheerleading squad was Westwood, actually did a performance. And this is actually on Cox Channel 7. It will be repeated multiple times, and it was an excellent event, just highlighting the amazing students we have in Arizona and the amazing students we have here in Mesa. So check your programming guide. It sounds like a Cox ad, but it was a really, really wonderful gala, and the acts that were in between the entertainment was all high school kids from the state, and they were, it was fabulous. So, thanks.
Great, thank you. Okay, any requests to speak from the public? All right, we have a motion to adjourn. Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, we're adjourned.